KZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packard. Reports of damage to hospitals and roofs flying off buildings after Hurricane Melissa swept across Jamaica. The storm making landfall as a monster Category 5.
This is one of the worst experiences that we have ever encountered.
Desmond McKenzie, deputy chairman of Jamaica's Disaster Risk Management Council, reports of people trapped. No word on casualties yet. Melissa now downgraded to a Category 3 and headed toward Cuba. Hours ahead of President Trump's arrival in South Korea, North Korea saying it fired sea-to-surface strategic cruise missiles above the Yellow Sea, and the previous day that happened. This as Trump expressed his wish to meet with North Korean leader Kim Jong-un during his visit to the South. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu ordering the military to carry out powerful strikes in Gaza. Israel accusing Hamas of violating the truce by firing on its troops and not turning over the bodies of the 13 remaining hostages. This is ABC News. UPS posted third quarter results that beat Wall Street expectations. The company also disclosed 48,000 job cuts. Death at the cemetery. The Occupational Safety and Health Administration is investigating a fatal accident last week in Texas.
Angel Rojas worked at Dallas's sprawling Restland Cemetery and was using heavy equipment to move a burial vault when the massive concrete box fell onto his legs. He was pinned but conscious, first calling 911, then calling his wife, Natalie.
He told me he loved me. He wanted to go home.
The 24-year-old Rojas would later die.
There's no way on earth this man should have been operating that machinery alone.
Attorney Matthew Graham says his firm is gathering information to determine whether to file suit against Restland. Jim Ryan, ABC News, Dallas.
Police say two critically endangered tortoises have been stolen from the Indianapolis Zoo. The Egyptian tortoise and the northern spider tortoise were stolen sometime between October 11th and the 12th. Dave Packer, ABC News.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. The Wisconsin Department of Transportation just announced the official start date for one of its biggest ever construction projects, the I-94 East-West Project, which will reconstruct and widen a 3.5-mile stretch of interstate highway in the city of Milwaukee and Milwaukee County. This is a massive project with an estimated cost of more than $1.7 billion. And with this official start date announced also came estimates for how long this will take. Construction is expected to last until 2030. At the recombobulation area, this project is something we've covered extensively, including with an award-winning four-part series called Expanding the Divide. It might be worth revisiting that series and considering how unnecessary and expensive an extra lane is and how in southeastern Wisconsin, we're going to be dealing with construction and delays for the next 8 years in order to shave a few minutes off suburban commute times while the city streets and city problems go ignored once again.
Find all of Dan's work at the recombobulation area.
You're listening to 96.9 WBZH, Hayward's home to the Todd Allball Show, weekday afternoons from 2 to 4.
It's the Bucks and the Knicks. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports NBA. The Bucks host the New York Knicks. Milwaukee coming off a disappointing loss in Cleveland, 118-113 to fall to 2-1. Bucks center Miles Turner.
Being new to this group, you know, my key messaging to everybody was like, you got to look forward, you know, to playing from behind. You know, it's the NBA, stuff's gonna happen. At times you can find yourself in unfortunate positions, but I just think it's very important that, you know, if we want to be, you know, a playoff caliber team or a championship caliber team, we gotta, you know, really embrace, you know, being down. And I think we did a good job of that in that third quarter. And there's no excuses in this league. You know, it doesn't matter who's out there, you know, we all lace them up and try to go out there and compete.
Baseball, game four of the World Series tonight in Los Angeles. The Dodgers leading the series 2-1 over the Blue Jays after winning last night 6-5. The game went past midnight. The Dodgers' Freddie Freeman with a walk-off home run in the bottom of the 18th inning to win the game. With Sports, on Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Big news from the Taylor Sheridan universe. The Yellowstone creator is leaving Home, which is Paramount Plus, and migrating to NBC. In addition to Yellowstone and its many spinoffs, Sheridan has also created Lawman Bass Reeves, Tulsa King, The Mayor of Kingstown, and Lioness, just to name a few. His material will stay at Paramount Plus until his deal is up in 2028, but he can start working for NBC Universal in 2026 with a new screenplay that is headed for production. The Texas native has also written movies like Sicario, Heller High Water, and wrote and directed 2017's Wind River, which starred Jeremy Renner and Elizabeth Olsen. According to The Hollywood Reporter, this is a big blow to Paramount, but they still have TV juggernauts Stranger Things and South Park. Maybe the only two other shows on TV Sheridan didn't create. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Buzz of the North, 96.9, WBZH, Hayward's Real News and Great Conversation, and home for the Todd Allball Show, Monday through Friday from 2 to 4.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Tonight, a mostly cloudy sky. Lows drop back into the low 30s. For tomorrow, a return to sunshine. Highs into the low 50s. And a partly sunny day on into Thursday. A high right around 50. Some showers return to the forecast Friday. It's 46 right now.
Pete Schwabe. On the next Nightlight, I welcome TV producer and writer and director of the film A Road at Night, John Roach. Then Door County Trolley's spooky storyteller, Carl Sarecki, joins me for some fun ghost stories.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. Weeknights from 6 till 8. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
It's a good day to be indigenous.
Get up, stand up.
They are going to become more brutal.
Courtney Cup, he need cut again.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. Hey, Cudahy, to all my friends and relatives in four directions, you are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. Hey, we discuss local, national, Native news and events, and as you know, Wendy, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues. Hey, on tonight's show on Native Roots Radio, we have two incredible guests who are making a difference in our Native community. First, we're going to be joined by Natalie Rademacher, a communications coordinator with Minneapolis American Indian Center. And Natalie will share updates on upcoming events, community initiatives, and important work happening at the center to support Native families, youth, and the culture. Also, really, really happy to have also joining us is Sandy Whitehawk, a respected author, speaker, and longtime advocate for Native American adoptees. And Sandy has dedicated her life to raising awareness about the impacts of adoption and foster care on Native people and helping reconnect adoptees with their tribal communities and culture. And so this is going to be a powerful conversation about healing, belonging, and community. And also we'll be talking about the gathering of our children. Welcome to Returning Adoptees, Foster Children, Adults, the gathering of our adopted returning adoptees powwow happening on Saturday at 1 p.m. And a lot going on. There's and it's at the Indian Center, Minneapolis Indian Center. And also, I just want to bring up a couple other things too. We're going to be talking about, let me talk about this real quick, and then I want to get into another thing. On November 6th, at 6 p.m., Rihanna Yazzie's film Winter Love will be at the Minneapolis Institute of Art, and there will be a Q&A with her afterwards. And it'll be exciting to see this great movie that she has. And then we're going to have Ajawak on the 23rd of November with Indian Horse. And he'll be doing a Q&A. And it's funny, I just ran into him today at a restaurant. So that's really exciting. And then Smoke Signals on the 29th of November. And that's a 2 p.m. Deal. And what I want to say about Minneapolis Institute of Arts, too, is that their stuff is free. And so if you go to there and want to go see these three great movies and spend some time there, it's free. So really, really excited about that. And I want to mention another thing too. And that you've been hearing on AM 950, at least, this big fundraiser here celebrating Minnesota music legend Paul Mesta in his 70th birthday. And with this special benefit, is a concert for AM 950 radio, and it's on Sunday, November 2nd at 7 p.m. at the Esther House in Minneapolis. The evening doubles as a CD release party for Songs of Resistance and Respect, a 12-track collection of politically charged songs spanning from 1984 to 2025. And I think I heard of Paul Mesta back in 1984-85, so it's exciting that he's been on AM 950 over 10 years. So I'll be there. Dinners and drinks are available from the full Astor House menu. Tickets links are at am950radio.com. Hey, and I want to bring Natalie on now. And Natalie, so good to see you. How are you doing today?
I'm doing good, Robert. How you doing?
Hey, Natalie, I'm doing great, and I'm really excited to have you on. I want to talk about what's happening at the Minneapolis Indian Center, but I also want to talk about, you know, kind of the history and things like that. That it's been around 50 years, and you know, we have a lot of listeners all around Turtle Island here, and sounds like the police are going to come and get you. Yeah, just whisper what you're going to say, your answer, so they don't come. But hey, talk a little bit about that, the history, and let's talk about some events, because there's always something happening at the Minneapolis Native American Center.
Yeah, so we're celebrating our 50th year this year. The building opened on Franklin Avenue back in 1975. So we commemorated the anniversary. We had a big gala last month that I know you did a live show from.
Yeah.
Really fun. Felt like the Emmys. You were like, who's wearing what and who's here? That was a really good episode. But yeah, we did that in our Indigenous Peoples Day powwow. We commemorated it. And so, yeah, the building looks really different than it did 50 years ago with our big renovation and everything. But the core missions stayed the same. And yeah, we've been serving our relatives for the past 50 years. And yeah, we hope to be there for another 50. So.
Well, what I like too, you said it looks totally different, but what I like is that the gym is the same. So in some senses, it kept a lot of the feeling of the old place too, which was good. And still people don't need to be afraid to come there because it's still the Indian Center.
Yeah. I think they really like kept the soul of it and the foundation of it during the renovation. And when you look on top, you can see like the water stains from when the ceiling used to leak. So they kept those intact. So we don't forget where we came from.
Yeah, sacred water stains. That's what I like to hear about. So wait, Natalie, before we get into it, what's going on at the Minneapolis Indian Center? I want to ask you a couple quick things about you. I have been kind of checking you out here online, and you used to be a radio person.
Yeah, I had. So I worked up in Alaska during my summers during college. Wow. They have like seasonal work up there where they'll give you lodging and you'll be with kids from like all over the world. And so, yeah, I waited tables, and there was a little radio station in Talkeetna, and they let me host like a little weekly newscast there, which was fun because a lot of people up there, they don't have phone service. And so it was like I would get letters that were written into the station and you'd read them on the air. And that was how families talked to each other. So I would like read a letter that would be like, hey, Barb, it's your mother. Meet me at mile marker 47 at 7 o'clock on Tuesday. And like that was how people got the word out. And so that was really, really fun.
That's some serious smoke signals happening. Hey, you're way too young to know. Have you ever heard of the show Northern Exposure?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that was kind of the same vibe too. And I know, and I had flashes too of smoke signals when, they had the reporter on top of that broke down camper, and he said, "Oh, nothing's happening out here."
Right, you're looking for the news.
Yep. Yes. Oh, they're arguing again in the car. Oh, wow. Yeah. That's fun. How many years did you do that?
It was just for one summer. So, not very long, but it was fun. I liked it. And I was running the audio board while doing it. So you'd be running a live show and doing everything all at once. And the power would go out if it overheated. So I learned a lot. It was very messy, but
it was very messy, did you say?
Yeah. It'd be like the power would be going out and you'd be trying to run the soundboard and reading the news. And
yeah, that's crazy. Well, talk a little bit about, we got a minute left in the segment, and then I want to talk a little bit about what you do for the Minneapolis Indian Center. Then we're going to get into some things that are happening this week and this month.
Yeah, that sounds good. Happy to get into it. We've got a lot going on, so I'll cover what I can.
Well, yeah. Well, tell us a little bit about yourself, what you do there.
Yeah, so I'm the communications person at the center. So that's kind of whole bunch of different things. But basically, I'm just trying to get the word out about what we got going on. So telling the community what's happening and when to come to the building, and also inviting people in. So we rent out our spaces for conferences, meetings, powwows, all that jazz. And so it's really getting the word out and inviting people to come in and be at the center, come to gatherings, come shop at Charlie's shop. And
exactly. Hey, it's Native Roots Radio. We'll be right back after the short break. Please stay with us. Ho-wa.
The city of Minneapolis is now on Native Roots Radio with Minneapolis AIR. AIR stands for American Indian Relations. Guest host Christine McDonald talks to people about important things affecting the city's Native communities. Minneapolis AIR dives into topics like public safety, public health, elections, and so much more. Tune in to Minneapolis AIR on Native Roots Radio from 5 to 6 p.m. on the second Wednesday of every month, right here on AM 950.
Are you a Metro Transit rider? Join the Free Riders Club and let your voice be heard. Our motto is Transit Voices United, and when you become a member, you'll participate more closely in decision-making, plus earn the opportunity for exclusive merchandise at Metro Transit events. Help improve your transit system. We value your opinion. Join at metrotransit.org/ridersclub and start being rewarded today. That's the Riders Club at metrotransit.org/ridersclub. A reminder to anyone who rides Metro buses. That means the A, B, C, D, gold, orange, or red lines. Remember to pay your fare before you get on. Either buy a ticket at your station's ticket machine, tap your go-to card or pass to the reader at the station, or activate a ticket on the Metro Transit app. Have your proof of payment ready to show to trip agents if asked, or risk getting a citation. Thank you for your continued riding with Metro Transit. We've all seen the effects of wood smoke pollution this year, so before hosting that backyard bonfire, follow these simple tips to protect yourself, others, and the environment. Remember to give your neighbors a heads up before building a fire so those who find wood smoke bothersome can close their windows. Make sure to never burn wet or recently cut wood, other yard waste, plastic, or garbage. These things can be toxic when burned and create excess smoke. For more tips on how to burn responsibly, visit epa.gov/burnwise.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot. Hey, welcome back, everyone, to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake. And hey, I am here with Natalie Rademacher. How did I do? Rademacher.
It's perfect.
Wow. Thank you so much. Yeah, one in a row. You know, if you listen to the show, and I know you do every once in a while, I'm not good with names. Maybe it's my reading skills or whatever, but I've been working on it. I'm 64, going on 65, and I think I will get this down someday. Hey, you are the first communications coordinator for the Minneapolis American Indian Center, and that's exciting, always being the first. And really, we're talking a little bit at the end there. I want you to mention, too, what else is going on at the – you mentioned Charlie, and he's an icon, and he's been in the Indian Center for many, many years.
Yeah, we joke that he comes with the building because he's just always been there.
Yeah, and it's great. And then there's not a museum, but it's a gallery. And then, of course, you have the gym, and then you have all these spaces, too, that I know. It's unbelievable how many things are going on there. Let's talk a little bit about what's happening there. And I touched a little bit before you came on about the powwow Saturday, but there's something going on once or twice a day.
Yeah, it's kind of amazing. We have a building calendar, and it's just every day there's five or six things happening, different programs. And then we also rent out our spaces. So every day you don't know who's going to be there. Like today alone, we had United Way had a big panel in the morning. Deloitte was there in the afternoon. They're doing some video filming. And we're getting ready. We have our big Halloween event tomorrow. So the building's getting all decked out for that right now.
Well, talk about that. What's going on? So can somebody almost 65 years old come on down and get some candy?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You're more than welcome. You gotta be careful in the haunted house, though. You got to protect your heart.
Yeah. Yeah, you know it. All those cigarettes I smoked back in the 70s and 80s, I know that messed with my heart.
But yeah, we've got a whole lot going on. We've got a trunk or treat event. So the parking lot, there's like 19 vehicles that are participating, and they're all decked out, and people are coming in costumes, and they'll be giving out candy from 5 to 6. And our elders are part of that. They all have been making Minion costumes all week, like from the Despicable Me movies. And so they've got a vehicle, and they look great. Their costumes are amazing. So they'll be there. A bunch of other orgs in the neighborhood are going to be part of that. And that's in the parking lot from 5 to 6. And then our basement, we turned into a haunted house, and it's super spooky. Like, it is next level. It's already kind of spooky down there because it's a basement from the 1970s. But, yeah, we've, like, decked it out. And so that'll be from 5 to 7. People can come through. And then we've got drum and dance as well. So there'll be sandwiches served in Nebe Hall from 5 to 6. And then the gym will have drum and dance. And they're doing like a costume contest, spot dances. What else they got going on? Musical chairs and a prize walk. So it'll be, the whole building's going to be part of the festivities. And people are going to be in costumes. And everyone's invited to come and participate. Should be a really fun evening.
That sounds fun. So what are you dressing up for Halloween? All Hallows Eve.
Oh, so I'm part of the haunted house. I'm a zombie, so I'll be down there.
Jeez. Well, the sad thing, you keep alluding to like 1975, but the sad thing is I remember 1975 pretty well because then the next year was the bicentennial, but that's all I remember. But it was if you were around in the 70s, you really weren't, you don't remember things. But yeah, I'm getting up there. What else is going on? I know we talked, let's talk a little bit about what's going on Saturday. I'm really excited. We're going to have Sandy Whitehawk up next, and we're going to talk about her and what's going on with this powwow that's been going on for 19 years.
Yeah. So we got the big adoptees honoree powwow on Saturday. I'll let Sandy talk more about that. I know she's coming on and can talk more about what the event entails, but that'll be the big event this coming Saturday at the center.
And then the weekly things, I know you have drum and dance, and then you have a couple of well, this is another thing I want to ask you about too, because possibly people don't know, but I know Franklin Avenue, people from all over Turtle Island like to come to Franklin Avenue and check it out. You guys have a workout room. You have a pickleball going on at night. You have all these things happening, and it's free of charge.
Yeah, it's kind of amazing. We've got our fitness center and our gym, and that's open to anybody. You just have to sign up on site to use the spaces. And yeah, then we've got a pickleball league, Auntie's Night Out pickleball, basketball, volleyball. We have a run club that we started last year. And then we also have like fitness classes. We've got like a high intensity interval training that our fitness manager Joe leads. And one of my favorites we have, it's called Tradish Fit, where Miko Sampson, who's like a world-class hoop dancer, every Tuesday at 2 leads like an hour-long workout in our gym that's open to anybody. And he also live streams it, so you could participate from anywhere. But it's kind of amazing because he's like a professional hoop dancer and he's just there to teach and instruct, and Oh, yeah, it makes it really accessible for everybody.
Wow. Talk, let our people know that aren't listening or watching us or listening how to get a hold of you or the Facebook or the website, how people can find out more information.
Yeah, if you go to, so we're on Facebook, that's probably the best place to get info. It's the Minneapolis American Indian Center. And every Monday we post like a schedule of what's happening that week, just because there's so much going on every day. So that's the best place to get all the info. Otherwise, our website is micnet.org. And we've got a calendar out there too.
It's really interesting too, what's going on with the building, because there's an upstairs now that it is like, it's an open office. It's amazing to see what's happening up there. And I got a chance to sneak up there one time after it was opened, and I was just like going, wow, this is awesome.
Yeah, it's amazing. We've got a bunch of meeting rooms and we rent those out too. So a lot of orgs in the neighborhood will have meetings there, and it's kind of fun. It's kind of open to anybody. So it's been amazing to see who's come in and used the spaces since we started that rental program.
And you just need to contact you or get on the website and the Facebook and contact.
Yeah, we've got a form on our website. So it kind of shows all the spaces that are available to rent. And then you can fill out an inquiry form. And my colleague, Kateri Tuttle, runs that space rental program. So she's been filling up the building. And we're in kind of high demand. We've got a lot going on. So we encourage people to get in early if you want space.
Yeah, and I believe that, and that's why I think it's really important to have you come on the show, because it's every time I look, I go, oh, I missed something. There's something going on, really, you know. And then let's talk a little bit, too, about that restaurant, because I like to go in there and have a walleye sandwich there every once in a while. Oh,
yeah, it's so good. We have online ordering, so you can order from your desk and just pick it up downstairs, and it's dangerous. Accessible lunch. If you give them an extra buck, they might bring it up for you. It's, you don't have to move at all.
That sounds good, but I'm 3.4 miles away. Yeah. Yeah, I think I'd have to get more than a buck.
Yeah, you might have to tip a little bit more to get that.
Right. Well, so talk a little bit about the name of the restaurant and kind of the few things that they have. And it's really, really, I want to say it's very clean food and it's very delicious.
Yeah. So we've got Gatherings Cafe located within the center, and it's been here since 2016. But during the renovation, the restaurant was really revamped. So it's got a brand new kitchen space and dining space that overlooks Franklin Avenue. And we got a new head chef, Vernon Defoe, and he really like tweaked the menu and added stuff to it. And yeah, it's really amazing. They serve fresh food that's native to Turtle Island. And so it's really accessible food, like bison melts and salads, tacos, but it's really rooted in ingredients that are native to here. And they really try to source from local native producers when they can. So we get our fish from Red Lake, bison from Wisconsin. They really just try to keep it local and help support the producers in the community. Yeah, the food's really good. They've got, just really delicious salads and tacos, and their baked goods are fantastic. So I recommend going there for breakfast. They've got fresh muffins and cookies and all sorts of good stuff.
Wow. All right. Well, that's it. I'm going there tomorrow, and then I'm going to go trick-or-treating. hey, so last minute here, what do you want people to leave us with about your job and about what's happening on Franklin Avenue, and especially, you know, with the Minneapolis American Indian Center?
I feel like, well, just that it's open to everyone. And I think one big announcement that we made today was that we're a Bush Prize.
Yes.
Nations honoree. So, yeah, that's been our big, we've been kind of keeping it a secret for the last few weeks. So we're excited to be able to announce it to the world today.
Excellent. Thank you so much, Natalie, for coming on. That's.
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packard. Reports of damage to hospitals and roofs flying off buildings after Hurricane Melissa swept across Jamaica. The storm making landfall as a monster Category 5.
This is one of the worst experiences that we have ever encountered.
Desmond McKenzie, deputy chairman of Jamaica's Disaster Risk Management Council, reports of people trapped. No word on casualties yet. Melissa now downgraded to a Category 3 and headed toward Cuba. Hours ahead of President Trump's arrival in South Korea, North Korea saying it fired sea-to-surface strategic cruise missiles above the Yellow Sea, and the previous day that happened. This as Trump expressed his wish to meet with North Korean leader Kim Jong-un during his visit to the South. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu ordering the military to carry out powerful strikes in Gaza. Israel accusing Hamas of violating the truce by firing on its troops and not turning over the bodies of the 13 remaining hostages. This is ABC News.
You're listening to 96.9 WBZH, Hayward's home for the Maggie Dawn Show, Monday through Friday from 4 to 6 p.m.
It's the Bucks and the Knicks. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports NBA. The Bucks host the New York Knicks. Milwaukee coming off a disappointing loss in Cleveland, 118-113 to fall to 2-1. Bucks center Miles Turner.
Being new to this group, my key messaging to everybody was like, you got to look forward, to playing from behind. It's the NBA, stuff's gonna happen. At times you can find yourself in unfortunate positions, but I just think it's very important that, if we want to be, a playoff caliber team or a championship caliber team, we got to, really embrace, being down. And I think we did a good job of that in that third quarter. And, there's no excuses in this league. It doesn't matter who's out there. We all lace them up and try to go out there and compete.
Baseball, Game 4 of the World Series tonight in Los Angeles. The Dodgers leading the series 2-1 over the Blue Jays after winning last night 6-5. The game went past midnight. The Dodgers' Freddie Freeman with a walk-off home run in the bottom of the 18th inning to win the game. With Sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
The Buzz of the North, 96.9 WBZH, Hayward's real news and great conversation.
And home to Matt and Air on Air, weekday mornings from 9 to 11.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. Here's one of Pete's picks. Truth and Treason is a really good film set in World War II Germany. The plot sees Helmuth, a teenage boy, watch his Jewish friend taken away by the Nazis, which changes his outlook on Hitler's Germany. After hearing messages from around the world on an old radio conflicting what he hears at home, Helmuth spreads the word covertly at night until he is caught. The film is based on a true story, and the parallels to what is happening currently in America are undeniable. The story is inspiring, and the lead character, courageous. Definitely worth a look. Even if you happen to see a movie that does not feature Paul Rudd in the cast, he's convincing other actors to take roles. Bobby Cannavale said it was Rudd who convinced him to take his role in Only Murders in the Building for season 5. The Tony Award-winning Cannavale plays talking corpse Nicky Cochimilio, a mobster who gets whacked. Season 5 comes to a close Tuesday night, October 28th. I have to check out that show. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Tonight, a mostly cloudy sky. Lows drop back into the low 30s. For tomorrow, a return to sunshine. Highs into the low 50s. And a partly sunny day on into Thursday. A high right around 50. Some showers return to the forecast Friday. It's 46 right now.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
Brady Ewing, two-time Big Ten champion with Wisconsin football.
To hear that the coaches aren't fostering those relationships at the high schools, that has been the heartbeat of the team before Fickell's time. I got recruited other places, but I chose to be a Wisconsin Badger because of what that meant to me. If it means something to you, not just the name on the back, but the name you have on the front of your jersey, that's going to have staying power in today's college athletic landscape.
The Todd Allbaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station, and on the app.
Listen to the Civic Media exclusive podcast, Busted Pencils.
I mean, that comes naturally for me, Jacob, as a blue-collar scholar. I really love knowing, hey, what are the skills I need to complete the job? And how can I be the very best? I really think that we owe it to the next generation. And I don't even mean just young people, but anybody thinking about, hey, I'm going to change my career pathway. I think we owe it to them to say, well, here are the experts in your industry.
Subscribe to Busted Pencils wherever you listen to podcasts.
Todd Allbaugh.
Politics can be complicated from Washington to Madison. No better way to sort it out with three Wisconsin guys. Pat Kreitlow and Trigvi Olsen join me next time.
The Todd Allbaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Hi, I'm Jane Fonda, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot. Hey, welcome back, everyone. Joining us right now is Sandy Whitehawk, a respected author, speaker, and a longtime advocate for Native American adoptees. Sandy has been dedicated her life to raising awareness about the impacts of adoption and foster care on Native people and helping reconnect adoptees with their tribal communities and culture. It's my really great pleasure to say ahu. Great to see you. Thank you so much for coming on. And we have a lot to talk about. Welcome, Sandy.
Oh, thank you, Robert. Thank you for asking me to be on your show. Your show is awesome. I don't get to tune in as much as I'd want to, but you're doing an awesome job. And how'd you get Jane Fonda?
We were at a protest and I came up with my phone and I said, please, will you do this? And three takes later, she did it, or she got it. So it was
That's
awesome.
So cool.
It's funny. Yeah. Used to have awesome. Leonard Peltier do a 1-2 for us. And but he's gotten out of prison since then because he gave his address. And you're listening to Neighbors Radio. Yeah. We'll have to have you do one soon, too. But I want to talk about Gathering for Our Children and Returning Adoptees powwow first. And then yes. And we got a couple segments here. And I'm so excited to be a part of this. And it's the 19th year. Let's talk a little bit about the beginning and sure. What's happening this Saturday.
Yeah, you know, the powwow actually came about it was just conversation in the Black Hills. June 21st, 2000, we brought the, Jerry Dearley was asked by Chris Leith to make a song for adoptees because, you know, we have a song for everything, veteran songs, naming mm-hmm. songs, we just do. And I said, you know, I've been powwow dancing and I've been in all Canada and all these places and I never hear us talk about us. And we don't have a song. And I felt kind of funny talking about it to Chris because, you know, he was a respected elder and who am I to, you know, and he just goes, well, you know, there should be a song. You're right. And that's what it was about. And so he asked Jerry Dearley to make this song for us. We brought it out in the Black Hills at World Peace and Prayer Day that year in June 2000. And people came from Canada and all over the place who saw the advertisement that we were going to have this song and ceremony welcoming our relatives. When we got done, it was so moving. I came up to Jerry and Dave Chief from Pine Ridge, who was also, he was a Arvo Looking Horse's spiritual advisor. And I said, oh, you guys, I said, that was amazing. Wouldn't it be really amazing if we had a powwow? And we just stopped at the in the middle of the powwow and we welcomed relatives back and then we went right back to dancing. And I remember Jerry goes, Sandra, if you plan it, we'll help you. Mm. And I thought, wow, okay. Well, I had not gone back and gone, okay, I want to do this now. I just stored it. Mm-hmm. And I was at NICWA and there's a social worker there, Tina Nafla, who worked at Hennepin County, who witnessed us do the ceremony at NICWA welcoming relatives. She came up, introduced herself, and said she would just like to talk to me some more. Well, we didn't talk anymore then, but she emailed me and I kept ignoring her emails because I didn't. She knows I've told this story. Because I got a bug up my butt about white social workers working in child protection. I just didn't want to talk to anybody like that. Mm-hmm. And yet Chris Leith told me one time I was at his house and I was said to myself under my breath, oh, geez, there she is again. And he goes, what are you looking at? And I said, oh, this social worker keeps emailing me about a powwow she'd like to plan, blah, blah, blah. And he goes, well, yes, we should work with Hennepin County. That's where. And so I had to get schooled and get all my junk out of the way. And mm-hmm. So in 2003, with Tina's leadership through Hennepin County, they organized that first powwow, welcoming our relatives. Had it at the Indian Center. And I was not living here then yet. And it went over well. And a couple years later, I moved here and then was offered a contract to organize this yearly event. So I started doing that. And Jackie Wilson at the time worked at the Indian Center. And so she came on board to help. And then through the years, there's been a, you know, Jackie moved away for a while and then came back, and Tina was always there, but we just kept doing it every year. And I wanted to do it in November because that's Adoption Awareness Month. Mm-hmm. And use that time to talk about it. So through the years, a lot of many, many adoptees and birth relatives have traveled. A lot of local adoptees have come forward and have been part of the ceremony and feel. What's really cool is there's a part of the ceremony, what we call everyone, we call everyone out to the center. And we have a pipe, we use the song, use our jingle dress dancers. My favorite part though, is we ask the community to come out and shake their hands. And they do. And when they do, they say all kinds of things to them, like welcome home. Mm. You know, someone could be from Denver and they're actually a Lakota from Pine Ridge.
Wow.
But this community, you know, we don't have those geographic borders. You know, we're connected as relatives no matter where we are. And they might say, you know, welcome home, you know, or we're so glad you found your way. Or they say all kinds of things. Give them a hug. Mm-hmm. And so that is what validates the grief and the loss. You know, it helps fill that void of first, do they even know about me if they've not met their, you know, biological family? Mm-hmm. What do they think of me? And so it touches them in all those complicated areas of adoption.
Mm-hmm.
And, so it's, and even those I found through my work that adoption, many Native adoptees were placed in homes that were not safe, and they went through a lot of abuse, mm-hmm. a lot of racism.
Mm-hmm.
But what I've found is that, you know, there are many there are a number of adoptees whose placement was very loving and stable. Mm-hmm. I'm so grateful when we get to hear that. But there's still grief and loss of identity,
yeah.
who we are, where we come from. So love can't replace that. The only mm-hmm. thing that can replace that is our people, you know, our ceremonies, our songs. So it's just been an incredible journey. And so here we are in the 19th year of welcoming our relatives, and I'm so glad you came on board because you got yeah. great ideas, and it'll expand and be awesome.
Well, I appreciate that. I believe I met you when Blood Memory came out, and that's yeah. a documentary about an adoptee yourself, and also really about ICWA too, and the pushback of that. I remember asking you a question too years ago. What do we do with these mothers? You know, how can we support these mothers, you know, that are giving up their children? And do you remember what you said to me?
No.
Give them the money instead of the foster
parents. Oh, yeah. Put the money in the beginning of this if they find a family in crisis. Yeah.
It made so
Don't
much
give
sense.
Give the $1,500 to somebody who may end up abusing them. Give it to the mom who needs the help.
I'll never forget that. It makes so much sense. And it's like, that shouldn't yeah. be thinking out of the box. That's right in the box. And, you know, and so well, common sense and things like that. I really appreciate you. And you also have written a book, too. Do you want to give the title of that? That's an unbelievable book.
Sure. It's called, I always have to think because it wasn't my original title. A Child of the Indian Race, A Story of Return.
Mm-hmm.
And A Child of the Indian Race is in italics to show and demonstrate that it's a quotation you know. And that's exactly how I was referred to in my adoption papers. So that, you know, said child is a child of the Indian race. So that the Minnesota Historical Society, they came together and they felt that that would make the best title.
I want you to, because we get a lot of people, our Native brothers and sisters watching us on Facebook and YouTube and Blue Sky. I want you to quote yourself when a Ho-Chunk was saying, all we want is our money back. And I think I think that's something that I really want to emphasize, what you said in the book and said to this person. Could you just fill everyone the story?
And I certainly don't want to disparage the Ho-Chunk community, because I have many awesome friends in Ho-Chunk tribe in Wisconsin who were very vital. They were vital in my healing process. Yeah. But I'm at this clan meeting by invitation. They wanted to know the story, and I was going to talk with them about the very first welcome home powwow that we were going to have in Kashina. So, for those of you who don't know, that's Kashina, Wisconsin, the Menominee Reservation. And this one elder said, well, you know, when you guys come back, you're really rude. You, you know, you're disruptive. But he said rude, and all you want is per cap. That's all you're interested in. Mm-hmm. And I waited. I didn't say anything right away. And I thought, and then I said, you know, I wish I would have thought to print up the emails that I receive, where people will say, my tribe gets this or that, you know, or I might be eligible for land, but I don't want any of that. I just want to know who I am and where I come from. Yeah. So I told them that that's not we need healing. And so he didn't say anything after that. And I didn't want to make him feel bad either, because I understand that, you know, we have a lot of pain, historical trauma. So, but it's true. We don't really want anything more than our name.
Yeah, it's beautiful. You know, I really appreciate that. Hey, we're here with Sandy Whitehawk, and we are talking about the big powwow this weekend and about other things too. Hey, this is Native Roots Radio, and we're going to take a quick short break. Please stay with us. Again, Native Roots Radio.
The Minneapolis Police Department is hiring, and we're looking for people ready to lead, serve, and reflect the communities we protect.
Whether you're a new graduate, changing careers, or already in law enforcement, there's a path for you to join our department.
With top-tier pay, full benefits, paid training, and a direct path to making a difference, this is more than a job. This is your chance to shape the future of Minneapolis Police.
Choose service. Choose leadership. Choose Minneapolis. Visit our city website to learn more.
A reminder to anyone who rides Metro buses. That means the A, B, C, D, gold, orange, or red lines. Remember to pay your fare before you get on. Either buy a ticket at your station's ticket machine, tap your go-to card, or pass to the reader at the station, or activate a ticket on the Metro Transit app. Have your proof of payment ready to show to trip agents if asked, or risk getting a citation. Thank you for your continued riding with Metro Transit. We've all seen the effects of wood smoke pollution this year, so before hosting that backyard bonfire, follow these simple tips to protect yourself, others, and the environment. Remember to give your neighbors a heads up before building a fire, so those who find wood smoke bothersome can close their windows. Make sure to never burn wet or recently cut wood, other yard waste, plastic, or garbage. These things can be toxic when burned and create excess smoke. For more tips on how to burn responsibly, visit epa.gov/burnwise.
All My Relations Arts presents Matrilineal Memory by Hopi artist Michaela Schaefer. This powerful exhibition blends painting, poetry, and installations, inviting reflections on memory, culture, and healing. Join us for the opening reception Thursday, October 16th, 6 to 8 p.m. at All My Relations Arts on Franklin Avenue in Minneapolis. Matrilineal Memory runs October 16th through December 13th. Experience the unveiling of an exhibition that speaks to the heart. Learn more at allmyrelationsarts.org.
Hi, this is Representative Charisse Davids from Kansas. I'm Ho-Chunk, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot. Hey, welcome back, everyone. We are here with Sandy Whitehawk. And you heard the bumper, Sandy. Charisse Davids, a little bumper there. Her mom comes to our powwow, too. Oh, I got you muted. Sorry. Go ahead.
It was so cool. She's a veteran too, retired Army, yeah. I believe, veteran. And so it was really cool because a couple years ago when she came, we had her bring in a flag. We needed an extra veteran. And it was really awesome to be able to have her step in and fill that position in the color guard. But yeah, she came years ago and it was pretty awesome. You know, and I always say part of the policy of adopting us out, because there was a policy, a governmental push to place us. And the intent was just the same intent as boarding school, get us away from our families and culture. And there's right there showing didn't work for them, for their family, and it didn't work for me and all these other thousands of adoptees who are wanting to find their way home and become who they were meant to be within their tribal communities.
Yeah, it's so important and to who you are, because that's when you're, for me, that's when a lot of my healing begins too, because I never knew, you never knew. You missed things until then. And then when you do, you kind of got sad.
When you go, that's what that was. Because we don't have a language for that. We're just placed in this environment where we're supposed to meld in and become like we're some kind of blank slate. And in some ways, you know, we're able to receive love because most of us can receive that. But it all depends. And so there's just not a language to say, hey, I need to know who I am and where I came from. I never said that because I didn't know that's what I needed.
Right. Right. Yeah. I remember when I was running, for legislator, and we had a meeting with Marlene and you and I, and I thought one of the nicest and smartest and greatest things you told me, if it ever came up, you know, you're just a new Ho-Chunk. Well, do you remember what you said to me?
I do. I said, well, one thing I can say about Robert and any adoptee, but especially Robert, knowing, having gotten to know you, I said, he knows what it's like to live without culture. Mm-hmm. He knows what it's like not knowing who his people are. So he would always fight for anything that would maintain the integrity of the Ho-Chunk culture. And you got to be, you are voted in.
That's right. And not only that, what you said too is you've always been Ho-Chunk.
Yes. From the time you were born. No one can take that away from you.
Yeah. And that's amazing. And that really hit me and stayed with me, because that's the truth. And I think somebody, our new adoptees that come and join us or reach out to you, need to hear that you always were who you are.
Yep. In my healing, I was 7 years sober when I found my family in Rosebud. And it was a short time after that I realized, oh man, you know, that deeper healing that I needed to have from that loss of my identity, and that the things that I felt growing up had validated all my feelings of not fitting in, not being good enough, because I couldn't fit in because I was who I was. And I have wonderful friends in my high school class, but for the most part, it was exceptionally difficult.
Mm-hmm. Well, what's interesting too for my family, I'll never forget one of my daughters. I won't say her name because I don't want to embarrass her. When she heard the drum for the first time, started crying. So it really affects generations and generations, this adoption and lack of culture.
Exactly. That's, I'll never forget the first time I heard the drum as well. Yeah, I can still see my first grand entry and that first time home spending time at the powwow. I remember I had to keep going and running to the outhouse because I just was crying and crying and crying. But that was healing tears.
Yeah.
You know, I needed to have those. And yeah. So yeah, the powwow this Saturday, come and dance, come be part of the welcoming. The ceremony is going to be around 4 o'clock. Between three, I think it's more closer to three. Come and be there. If you're a jingle dress dancer, you can be part of the ceremony by dancing. When we call the dancers to come out to offer their healing, fanning them down. So, yeah, it's fun. It's a nice little powwow.
Yeah, and it, grand entry starts at one, and there's another grand entry at seven. I think one of the most... the heaviest things that my first one, which was over 10 years ago, I think people shaking your hand and welcoming you back, just thinking about that is pretty emotional. And some people I didn't know at the time too. And it's so powerful.
Yeah. Sometimes there's adoptees who'd never been welcomed and they never even talked about being an adoptee. And then they're the, you know, I was just in Tulalip. They had a celebration bringing their relatives back, and I told them, I said, you're going to find people who have lived in your community for 20 years but have never talked about their experience. And I said, yeah. And sure enough, there was one there who shared, and that healing was brought to her, you know, through their ceremony. So that was my vision, is that every year at our annual gatherings, tribes would welcome their relatives back. It doesn't take long. Take an hour, if that, to bring on that kind of healing.
That's so powerful. It's funny that you say that too, because I went to junior high and high school here in the Twin Cities with Ho-Chunks. I taught in high school. I taught in high school. My cousin, she was one of my students. So our relatives are everywhere. We just don't know that. I always had a great connection with her, my former student too. We had the same humor. We'd see each other in the hallway and do funny things. And then I find out many years later, she's my cousin.
Yeah, that happens a lot.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. So what I'd really, you know, what else would you like to say? We got a couple more minutes here, and go ahead.
Just come and enjoy the day. Come, if you're a former fostered individual, we're having a meeting at 10 a.m. upstairs. Robert's going to be at the door greeting individuals. If you are a birth relative, if you are a former fostered and or an adoptee, you are all welcome to come up, and we have a meet and greet, a talking circle, and it's really feels good to meet other adoptees if you've not met other individuals, especially if you've not met individuals who've gone through with what you've gone through. So it's not a time of bashing and anger. Right. It's a time of reconnection and love.
That's perfect. Well, Sandy, thanks for coming on. It's this Saturday at 1 p.m., the gathering of our children and returning adoptees powwow at the 1530 East Franklin Avenue in Minneapolis. And we have people from all over the country coming. So we're going to it's always pleasant to see, oh, you're from Colorado? Oh, my God. How'd you hear about it? And they've seen you speak across the country and things like that. So thanks again, Sandy.
Yeah. Thank you, Robert. I'm looking forward to Saturday.
Me too.
You're listening to WBZH, Hayward's home for the Todd Allball Show.
Pat Kreitlow,
On Wednesday, State Assembly Representative Angelina Cruz visits our homeroom segment, and we'll talk to Earl Ingram of the What's Going On podcast.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9.
School sports are played by humans, coached by humans, and officiated by humans. So the next time you're sitting in the stands at a school athletic event, please remember this and maintain your humanity, especially when it comes to judging and critiquing athletes, coaches, and officials. Please show your fellow human some respect. They'll appreciate your empathy.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
You're listening to 96.9 WBZH, Hayward's home for the Midwest Farm Report with me, Pam Yonke.
This is the Buzz of the North, WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packard. Melissa's been downgraded to a Category 3 hurricane, but Melissa was a terrifying Category 5 when it made landfall in Jamaica. ABC's Ike Ajayi is in Kingston.
Deborah Shields from Houston is stuck at her hotel outside Montego Bay.
Pray that we get home. Like at this point, at the end of the prayer, right before you say amen, say I pray that they all can get a flight home.
As Melissa tears across Jamaica, Cuba is next. Authorities are now racing to move some 500,000 people to higher ground tonight.
An official confirms the White House today firing all 6 members of the Arts Commission that was supposed to have reviewed President Trump's construction projects, like his ballroom and the triumphal arch that he wants to build. The Senate tonight narrowly passed a resolution that would repeal President Trump's Brazilian tariffs. A Florida man convicted of raping and killing his neighbor decades ago was put to death by lethal injection tonight in a record 15th execution in Florida this year. This is ABC News.